From listener-supported KTOO, welcome to Juno Afternoon, broadcasting live from the homelands of the Occoquan and on demand as a podcast. It's Wednesday, February 26, 2025. I'm your host, Boston Christopher. Gonna chee, shawa, tuxuk nusum, salama. Thank you for joining the conversation. Today, Curiosity Unleashed from the Juno STEAM Coalition is coming March 10th for K-6 families with the theme of change makers. We chat about how to get involved and what to expect. The Juno Senior Center is a vital resource in our community. We look into some of the programs and services that are offered. Lynn Canal Adventures summer running camps are now taking registration, and with some of the spots only having a handful left, we talk with some students who encourage you to run, not walk. And Ben Brown from the Juno Chamber of Commerce is here with a monthly update. Those conversations plus Tongass Voices coming up this hour on Juno Afternoon. KTOO would like to acknowledge that we broadcast from the homelands of the Occoquan. The Clan Edie have stewarded this area for thousands of years. Today, our studios sit on a spot once part of the tidelands, now covered over with buildings, roads, and parking lots. We recognize those families who travel to and from these tidelands to fishing and hunting grounds and to gatherings in other villages and still cherish it as an important part of their way of life for today and for future generations. Support for Juno Afternoon comes from Alaska Airlines Club 49. Membership information available at club49hub.com. You are listening to Community Supported Juno Afternoon on KTOO at 104.3 Juno, 91.7 Juno Auk Bay, and online at ktoo.org. I'm your host, Boston Christopher. Monday, March 10th from 5:30 to 7:30 at Thunder Mountain Middle School, the Juno STEAM Coalition is hosting Curiosity Unleashed, a community STEAM event. I am joined now by Nicole Farron and Brenda Taylor to chat more about it. Gunath Cheesh, Ha'yeyadi, thank you so much. It's a pleasure to have you here. Wasi'iti, Nicole.
Hi, Boston. Thanks for having us.
Wasi'iti, Brenda.
Going pretty well. Nice to see you.
Of course. It's so great to have you both in the studio. So wonderful. Okay, so let's talk a little bit about, let's just set up before we get into the actual event. Just tell us, what is the Juno STEAM Coalition?
So the Juno STEAM Coalition has been around for maybe 8 years or so, a very loose configuration of people who are trying to facilitate connections between all the amazing STEAM experts and enthusiasts that we have out in Juno and our educators and students. And we've done that in a lot of different ways over the years. And the people who keep coming back to our meetings, organizing things with us, are the Weather Service, that's Nicole here, and somebody from Discovery Southeast, somebody from the school district, SHI, NOAA, JEDC, an artist, and the planetarium. I think that's it.
Okay.
And anybody else who'd like to join us and help us plan events like this.
Yeah. And just remind us too, I know everybody maybe have heard this, but STEAM stands for something.
Science, technology, engineering, art, and math.
There we go. Yeah, STEAM. And I know a lot of people's heard it as STEM, but they've been adding the A a lot of places, which I'm very happy about. So
yeah.
Thank you for adding the
art,
A in
art
there.
Art is surrounding us everywhere.
Art is part of our world for sure. Okay, so, and this is not the first year of Curiosity Unleashed.
I think we figured out this is number seven.
Seven, okay. Yeah, absolutely.
We're getting pretty good at it.
And so what is Curiosity Unleashed? How does this unfold?
So in terms of behind the scenes, we've been working since, I think, November, October or something. In terms of what people see when they come, it is for K through sixth graders. Younger kids are welcome to come, but their parents will helping them be helping them to make sense of what they see rather than expecting things for younger kids. And basically Thunder Mountain Middle School throughout the commons and two wings and the ends of those commons and the mezzanine is transformed into 50 plus activities for kids to explore so that really truly they are unleashing that curiosity that they were born with and that we are doing all that we can to encourage them by, for instance, Juno Mountain Rescue is there with a pulley contraption, which is showing A, how pulleys work, and B, what they actually do as Juno Mountain Rescue.
That was my kids' favorite event last year when they went, was the Juno Mountain Rescue pulley.
They're pulling kids up on the pulleys.
Oh, wow.
It's not just like, oh, this is a little pulley.
They don't just show it. They're like, get on this thing.
No.
That's kind of cool.
It's very cool.
Yeah.
You're like, oh, this, wow, I see why a pulley, how it works and why you would want it if you're pulling somebody up from a crevasse or whatever. We have, as you can imagine, many people from NOAA and microscopes and fish dissections and the weather services. And yeah. Nicole can talk more about what they're doing.
Yeah. Last year we had a green screen there, which was really fun. But this year with the theme of thinking about changing, like, so we're using clouds as an example of keeping an eye on the clouds and really being observant around your surroundings and watching, like, if a cloud's changing, you can judge by yourself whether or not you might need to change your activities for the day. So looking at how, have you ever watched an animation of, like, a thunderstorm developing? And you can see that it starts sometimes from just from no clouds and then, like, just builds up through the day. And that's kind of a fascinating thing as a meteorologist to watch how that evolves. And it's the focus of our activity this year.
So is it like I go outside and I – when it's – you know, when you're driving – sometimes when you're driving – this is more down in the States because it doesn't really happen as much in Juneau. But when you're driving, you see that dark cloud up ahead and you sort of know that something is going to be happening and you're sort of looking at the different signs for the day, right?
Yeah, sure. Or maybe it didn't look like that in the morning when you left for your hike, but gosh, now it's looking a lot taller and a lot darker over there. Maybe we should turn back a little earlier than we had planned.
Right. So basically the idea is that at this event, which is on March 10th from 5:30 to 7:30, there's going to be activities inside each of the various different science, technology, engineering, arts, and math that folks can bring their K through 6 kids to and discover and play and sort of see where their interests lie or what they're navigating towards. And that actually could help you as a parent, right, Brenda, to sort of see like, oh, my kid's really into technology, this cool techie
robotics
thing that's here, robotics or something. And then they can see like, oh, maybe I'll encourage them to do more of that.
I think absolutely. I know you guys often ask us what's the S, what's the T, the E, and I think we actually often see a whole lot more overlap, right? And so I would encourage parents to think that way, and I think that's the way STEAM experts think all that, like, she's got the math totally connected into whatever work that she's doing or engineering and things. I think, so going back to that parent idea, yes, we want this to be a fun event for kids, and I think that's pretty easy. We just have cool things to do. But we also want it to be an event that helps all of the adults around us who are encouraging this curiosity and this focus and exploration in kids to think about how do we make that happen. So each year we choose a theme that's connected to like a STEAM mindset. So one year we did focusing on observation, and one year we did imagine if and like designing. And this year, change makers is how do we help kids be comfortable and competent in responding to change and uncertainty, right? It's not a worksheet and that you always get the right answer because the real world is changing all the time. And how do you also proactively make change? And I don't know that the kids are going to know that that's what the activity is, but we've told the presenters, and so some of them welcome that opportunity to have a different way of thinking, like how do I deal with, you know, with change in my everyday life? We also connect the takeaway that we give to kids to this idea. And so our takeaway this year, we're pretty excited about. We're going to, we're giving away fix, mend, and repurpose kits to kids, with this idea of how do you react to change, right? Oh, it's got a hole or it's broken. Well, instead of throwing it out, how do we help kids learn to fix and mend things or repurpose them? And so, for instance, we've got a bike tire patch repair kit. We have a mending and darning kit. We have screwdrivers with lots of different bits. We have a book and paper repair and repurpose, and we have knot tying. And all of those will also have activities at the event where we'll have adults helping kids learn how to use those kits and do those activities. Like, here's a hole in your sweater. How could you fix it? Or you just want to put a patch on because it's cool. Or here's how you use the screwdriver to tighten up the shelf or put those drawer handles on, or whatever those things are. And there's a handout that accompanies that for parents, reminding them how important it is that kids develop that ability to think that they can react to change and fix things. And so even when it's so much easier for us as adults to fix it ourselves, it's really great if we can just like sit on our hands and wait for all the time that it takes our kids to figure it out, right? Long term,
right.
That's what we want.
Yeah.
Learn
yeah.
from doing.
Yeah, that's incredible.
So we've got a handout, and we'll have links to other websites that parents can go and continue that thinking and that idea and that mindset outside of just this event is our purpose.
I love it.
And
that's
then the
so cool.
fourth adult group that we're, maybe third adult group, is teachers. Mm. And we really encourage them to come so that they can meet the amazing STEAM enthusiasts and experts that we have in this community mm-hmm. and get to see them in action and be like, ooh, I really love the way Nicole works with kids. I'm going to invite her into my classroom. Maybe she could do something not about clouds, but maybe about some other aspect of weather. Or, hey, that's a cool activity. I think I could actually do it on my own with my kids and look at how interested those kids are. And anyway, so that we're hoping we really inspire teachers as well to think about how do they bring that in.
Nicole, what's the value for you from NOAA's perspective in terms of participating in an event like this?
Oh, that's a great question. For us, doing any kind of outreach events are helping our community know that we're here. That's important. We're part of your community. We live here. But also encouraging kids to be excited about science because then they might go off to school and study meteorology and they can come back here and work for us and forecast for their hometown. So if you know any kids out there interested in meteorology, we're always excited to give them a helping hand.
And just so for those who may not know, what does NOAA stand for?
The National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration.
I love it. That's so cool. So let's talk a little bit about the folks that you have participating.
Yes, volunteers.
Yes. So if we could just do a huge shout out or a moment of silence or whatever is most effective to, you know, we'll have more than 50 activities. Often there's a couple of people coming and doing that same thing. It's almost 100 people from the community who are running activities, plus we have high school students coming to, you know, bring water and snacks and gopher. It's a huge thing, and we are so appreciative to the people who come and bring their interests and passions and get kids excited. And even if you don't have kids and if you don't want to volunteer, it's just pretty cool to walk in the building and check things out as an adult. The energy is so cool. You come away being like, wow, Juno is a really cool place.
Mm.
So,
I love that.
Just as
do we need more volunteers?
We always want more volunteers. If you've got an idea for doing some cool activity in that STEAM area, connected or not connected to change makers, we still have space for some more people. If you want to be a volunteer and just show up at 4 o'clock, let us know ahead of time would be great. But to help us, again, do all that gophering, running around, that would be super helpful, or clean up. All of those things would be super great.
What's the best way for if somebody does want to volunteer to contact?
JunoSteamCoalition@gmail.com.
JunoSteamCoalition@gmail.com if you want to volunteer. That's really cool. Okay.
Would you like to hear some more of the activities that'll be there? Do you want to do some of them? Or
you've got a great list going here on your paper. Bike mechanics, bike repair.
So these are the, like, those are our takeaways that I kind of mentioned. So that we'll do bike. Not only can you learn to fix a tire, but Ken Hill, the bike doctor, will be coming and helping kids understand when you change gears, which frankly, as a parent, I've never been able to do. But I think when he brings his bike and will help the kids actually take the time to understand that.
That's kind of a fun thing is actually, like, as a parent, you might actually learn some things too.
Yeah, that's a valuable skill.
Yeah.
I want to say one more thing about mindset and things. Like, I think our goal is not, we don't, for instance, there are two doctors coming with their stethoscopes and helping kids listening to their hearts. But our goal is not that kids know that their heart goes bump, 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 bump. Our goal is that they're like, wow, stethoscopes are an amazing tool. What can I find out? Like, it's not only my heart that's making sounds, but I can hear my breath in there. I can hear myself swallow. Mm. Like, what are all the questions that the STEAM enthusiasts and experts are asking themselves all the time? What are the questions that kids have about that? And how do we, as their parents and as their adults around them, encourage them to have questions? Like, we don't even care so much about the answers, but really, how do we keep turning things into questions, I think?
I love it. That's so cool. Great.
I can do more.
One more. Let's do one more.
Paper circuitry with Raya Waldron from Deed. So basically, like, taking this copper wire and lighting up art that they are going to be making in different parts of the STEAM place.
That's so cool.
The Jensen also Arboretum is going to be there for the first time. We'll do a composting recycling game. There'll be some sinking and floating with, I don't know if the ROVs will actually be there or not. Actually, Zach Bursell, who's part of Lynn Canal running camp a little bit, is going to be there with a new idea of how can you use, how do you connect your physical fitness and how to be like a better athlete with the physics or the chemistry or the neurology of what's going on inside your body. So I think he's going to do like a lactase test type thing. He's a PE teacher now, and then actually my son, who's a former Lynn Canal counselor. So it all kind of comes around.
It's all connected, which is so cool.
Totally is.
It's Curiosity Unleashed, a community STEAM event for K through 6 families from the Juno STEAM Coalition. It is happening on Monday, March 10th from 5:30 to 7:30 p.m. out at Thunder Mountain Middle School. You can find out more at junosteam.org and or email junosteamcoalition@gmail.com. Brenda, Nicole, thank you so much. It was really a pleasure to talk about this. What a great event.
Thank you. And we hope to see you there.
Gunith cheese.
Thanks very much.
Okay. Up next, the Juno Senior Center shares their offerings and upcoming events. This is Juno Afternoon from KTOO. But first, a little bird note.
This is Bird Note. A flash of glittering dark blue cuts through the gray of late February as a male tree swallow glides low over a cattail marsh. The tree swallow's liquid notes hint at spring's approach. Where a broad green pasture meets the forest edge, there is a second, even brighter flash of blue. A male bluebird alights on a fence post. The intense blue of its back glints in the welcome sunlight of late winter. Tree swallows, and all three North American bluebird species, are among the earliest northbound migrants to arrive, heralding spring a month before the equinox. Both species will nest only in cavities, such as old woodpecker holes or man-made nest boxes. The supply of such specialized nest sites is limited. Competition is intense. By arriving so early, tree swallows and bluebirds improve their chances of finding unoccupied cavities, and they may fiercely guard a nest site until April, before actually nesting. Both species benefit greatly from nest box programs, but it's crucial to put up only nest boxes with very specific hole sizes that encourage these flashy blue migrants, but deter non-native starlings and house sparrows. To learn about how to provide just the right home for tree swallows and bluebirds, come to our website, birdnote.org.
Support for Juno Afternoon comes from Heritage Coffee Roasting Company, providing Juno with locally roasted coffee for over 40 years. with cafes and drive-through locations throughout Juneau. More at heritagecoffee.com. This is Juneau Afternoon from your listener-supported public media station, KTOO. I'm Boston Christopher. With activities and free senior lunches Monday through Thursday, the Juneau Senior Center is the place to be and engaged. I am joined now by three wonderful folks, Aaron Walker-Tolis, Michael Scott, and Stephanie Dosher, to share more about us with the services and programs, plus some upcoming events. Wasa Iati, Gunath Cheesh, how you doing there, Aaron?
I'm doing great, thanks.
Absolutely. Hi, Stephanie, Gunath Cheesh, Wasa Iati.
Hi.
Hi, good. And Michael, Wasa Iati, how you doing?
Pleasure to be here.
Thank you so much. It's wonderful to have you all here. Mm-hmm. Okay, so let's set the stage. And I know I want to find out what these people do. I know, Aaron Walker-Tolis, you are the executive director of Catholic Community Service, which has so many programs, one of which is the Juneau Senior Center.
Yes.
So can you tell us, can you introduce these folks here, tell us what they do, and mm-hmm. also a little bit about what the Senior Center is?
All right. So Stephanie is our Jesuit volunteer, and her position this year, she'll be with us through August, is to do senior outreach and support activities and volunteers at the Juneau Senior Center because, of course, all of our meals get delivered by Meals on Wheels volunteers. And shout out volunteers, thank you so much. You're amazing.
Yes.
So thank you. But Stephanie's with us because one of the challenges after COVID, post-COVID, is a lot of seniors, you know, they went into their homes to be safe and many of them never came back out. Mm. It's a national phenomenon, seniors not getting back out into congregate centers, into places, the public, just in general. And so Stephanie's job is to reach out to seniors and create enticing activities for folks to come down and get volunteers to so there's something more happening at the Senior Center. And then Michael's with us, is our new Senior Center manager, and he joined us, like 4 weeks ago?
Yes.
So we're really excited to have him with us. Aria, our last Senior Center manager, is still with Catholic Community Service. She's just taken a promotion, and she's now our Nutrition Transportation Services Operations Manager.
Okay. And so, Stephanie, you're the Jesuit volunteer. You came from somewhere else to Juneau?
Yeah, I'm from upstate New York.
Upstate New York. Yep. And how long have you been here?
Around 6 months, I think, now.
Oh, wow. What do you think of Juneau so far?
I love it. It's so pretty and such a small, tight-knit community. I've really enjoyed getting to know them.
So as you learn the community, as Aaron said, your job is to get out there and sort of encourage seniors. So what kind of things are you working on to do that?
So we're trying to focus on activities that seniors really want to see. Right now, our number one is bingo. We're really trying to get a bingo caller, so if anyone out there is interested, that would be really cool. We're also doing a lot of seasonal activities. We just did a Valentine's Day event where we did Name That Love Song trivia through the decades, and made little sweet treats and things like that. And we're going to do something like that for St. Patrick's Day, actually, on March 17th, 11:30 to 1. So if anyone is interested in that, it's a little themed lunch, and we'll be doing games and just make the lunch a little bit more special and seasonal with St. Patrick's Day.
Gotcha. Okay, that's cool. Well, welcome to Juneau. It's
Thank
a pleasure
you.
To have you here. We'll talk a little bit more. And Michael, so yeah. You're the manager.
I am.
Okay, and where did you come from?
I am from the inner city in New York, Queens.
Oh, interesting. We got two New Yorkers up in here. Okay,
yeah,
that's cool.
I've been here longer than her, though.
But it's not a competition.
How long have you been here?
I've been here 12 and a half years.
Oh, 12 and a half. Okay, so yeah. you decided to stay.
Oh, yeah. I come and go, but Juneau is home.
Yeah, Juneau is a wonderful place to be.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and such a difference from New York. I mean, upstate or the city, right?
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah,
either
huge
one.
Difference.
Yeah, huge difference.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was just in New York recently, and my partner and I were there for a conference, and it reminded me, I used to live there a long time ago, and it reminded me when the winds get going in the city, and you're in Midtown, let's say, and the buildings, it's just it's just insane, you know? It's nothing like mountain wind.
Nothing
it's like a
it.
Certain kind of concrete building wind.
Yeah.
I don't even know what you would call it, but it's insane, so that's kind of cool. So in your role as manager, what is your duties?
Oh, to get people to volunteer. to help people out with the Meals on Wheels program. By the way, if anybody wants to volunteer, you can give me a call, 907-496-6175. We're welcome to have any volunteers who are willing to, you know, help out. We always appreciate their contribution, for sure.
Right. You always need volunteers,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, absolutely.
And what kind of things will the volunteers be doing?
Oh, Meals on Wheels, just helping out, taking bins back and forth to St. Paul's, et cetera. Whatever we need.
Okay. You know? Do you need people who volunteer during the day for, like, the lunches and stuff, too, that you do there at the center?
Yeah, yeah. It's a day-by-day thing, so usually it's Monday through Thursday. We'll put their name in the system, and they'll just, you know, pick days. We usually put out a newsletter every Tuesday or Wednesday, and we'll send an email out to everyone. That way they'll know what day we need them available. We'll give them a call. We'll give them a text. We'll send emails, et cetera, whatever we need.
I see. Okay. Yeah. And let's remind folks when the lunches are, because it's not every day.
No, with the exception of Friday and Saturday and Sunday.
Okay.
But Monday through Thursday.
Monday through Thursday. And what time does the lunch happen?
The lunch happens at the Senior Center at 11:30. But the Meals on Wheels, like, usually people will come there early in the morning to pick everything up, because we'll have the schedule set the week before.
Gotcha.
So,
okay.
Yeah.
Okay. And I guess the other question I'm wondering is, how do people decide, or I think I might have asked this last time we were talking about the Senior Center, but I was like, what age do you qualify for the services?
I believe it's
60.
Yeah, I think it's 60 years
Which
old.
Which sounds way too young. You know, like I'm approaching this.
You and I both,
yes,
Aaron.
You know, I'm like yeah. I'm going to be my own client soon. Yeah, it's 60 and older, and you know, we have people fill out a little information with us, you know, so we know who they are. We have to track our data for the state because we get funding from the state.
Right.
But we don't have an income limit. It's not needs based.
Okay.
These, you know, honestly, having nutrition is the number one. Poor nutrition is the number one reason that people have in their older years have falls. It's just poor nutrition. You're not eating well. You get a little lightheaded, a little dizzy. You're down. You're out. And so nutrition, just having a good, healthy, nutritionally complete meal on a regular basis is a huge deal to just basic health and maintaining independence. And that's what this is about.
Yeah.
Maintaining your independence in your own home, in your home community, as long as you want, as long as possible. And so part of what we do with Meals on Wheels is it's not just dumping a meal on someone's porch and running away. It's that wellness check, like, how you doing today? You know, are you okay? You know, and if someone doesn't answer the door, that Meals on Wheels volunteer makes a call, and that emergency contact person gets a phone call and says, you know, they didn't come to the door.
Right.
I just want you to let you know they're not at the door, and I didn't see them, but I just want to make sure they're okay.
Yeah.
And that's actually saved people's lives in the past.
Especially when people live alone, right?
I mean, yeah.
That's
definitely a thing that – because part of the other part of getting to the Senior Center, maybe some people come every day, right? Maybe they come every couple
days.
You
have your regulars that come.
Yeah, you got the regulars.
Yeah. Yeah.
But it's an opportunity to – socialize, right?
Absolutely.
To get out and say hi to folks and not feel like you're trapped inside.
Exactly. Oh, Stephanie, tell them about what happened the other day.
Oh, yeah. So the other day, it was one of our slower days. Tuesdays and Thursdays are normally a bit not as crazy as Mondays and Wednesdays. But the seniors that were there, and normally they sit at, like, different tables. They all have their different groups, but they all sat together that day, and they pushed two tables together just so they could all sit and chat and eat. And it was very sweet to see, especially because in the beginning, these were seniors that didn't talk to each other, didn't know each other. And then just in a few months, they were like besties, and they really just wanted to spend time together. So that was really sweet to see. And that's the type
nice.
Of community that we're building.
Yeah, so it's not so much like, because I, you know, we all have those memories of high school, getting to a new school and not being able to sit, and you're sitting and you see all the different cliques. And and so it's nice to see that they're all gathering together, you know. I'm sure there's really fun personalities, though, in the room all
definitely.
The time,
oh, you
right?
bet. It's like a bunch of, you know, just stories of, you know, people who are in their older years, and they just got, like, all of this experience, and they just want to communicate with one another. So it's never like a dry spell when they're there, especially when you got, like, 20 or 30 people. It's always, you know, something to talk about, so it's great. It's
and
great.
How did you, Michael, get interested in doing this kind of work, working with seniors?
Actually, my brother, Tyler, he got the job before I did. He's working in a different location than I am, but he told me about it, and so I was curious about it, so I just signed up for it, and here I am.
Here you are. And Stephanie, did I know as the Jesuit volunteer, you probably had different choices to be able to go and do different things. Mm-hmm. Was there a specific reason you wanted to choose Catholic Community Service or in particular the Junior Senior Center?
Yeah, I've always really liked working with seniors, and I did it a lot growing up. And my parents were like in nursing homes, so I spent a lot of time there like visiting them and visiting with the other seniors. So it's always been a passion of mine. I thought it would be really cool to build that community myself and help with outreach and things like that.
And what's the best way, Aaron, for folks to get more information about the Senior Center? You have a Facebook page or a website?
We do have a Facebook page, and Stephanie knows what it's called because she's the one who manages it.
It's just Juno Senior Center on Facebook.
Okay.
Yeah.
And, of course, we have our website, ccsak.org. And you can find us, the Juno Senior Center, on there as well.
And all the other services that Catholic Community
absolutely.
Service provides.
Yeah, volunteering, et cetera. You can go in there and you can find
get the forms or find the emails to do that. And give us that main website one more time.
CCSAK.org.
CCSAK.org. Or you can call Michael at 496-6175.
Yes.
He's there every day. And these lunches happen, Meals on Wheels. If you know somebody who needs a meal, Meals on Wheels, or if you yourself need that, give them a call or find your way down to the Senior Center. And where is the Senior Center located at?
It's at 895 West 12th Street.
West 12th Street, okay.
Yep. We don't know the address, but she
does. At the Mountain View Apartments. And I do want to do a sneak peek. On Seward's Day, we are revitalizing something we used to do before COVID. We're going to have a Seward's Day pancake breakfast at the Senior Center.
Nice.
The whole community is invited. We also need volunteers to flip pancakes and serve and help set up and break down. And we're calling this a friendraiser. Because, you know, it's been a long time since we've had a community event at our Juno Senior Center. We're working on getting it all spiffy and cleaned up. And so we want folks to come on down and visit and get to know us again. And just we might do a little auction and, you know, donations welcome. But it's pay as you can, because we want to make sure that everyone can come join us, not just folks who have money in their pocket to spend on a breakfast. So we're really excited. So that'll be on Seward's Day, March 31st, and we'll be back in March to talk to you more about it.
Awesome. That sounds so good. Thank you so much, Michael, Stephanie, Aaron.
Awesome.
It's really appreciating you being here today.
Thank
go to facebook.com/Juno Senior Center or go to ccsak.org. Gwyneth, cheers for being here.
Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Up next, we'll talk with Lynn Canal Adventures. This is Juno Afternoon from KTOO.
Seeking curious people who like technology, network engineering, and customer support. Opportunities for those who thrive on problem solving. Details at hansengress.com/careers.
You're listening to KTOO's Tlingit Word of the Week. This week's word comes from Kakhlat Florence Marks Sheikley. And the word this week is Kutl-ayanaha.
Kutl-ayanaha.
That means star. And here is a sentence.
Kutl-ayanaha tutinuch.
We always see stars when the weather is cold. Let's hear it again. Star. Gunas Chish Tukhune Lance Twitchell, Gold Belt Heritage Foundation, and the University of Alaska Southeast for this audio.
Kakashat Florence Mark Shakley is Shukach Adi and a child of a Chukunidi man. She grew up on Mark's trail in a family that used Tlingit as the primary language and were involved in documenting, teaching, and publishing in Tlingit. She has taught the language at all levels and has served as the teacher of teachers in the Juneau area for decades now.
And tune in next week for another Tlingit Word of the Week from KTOO.
You are listening to Juno Afternoon from Studio 2K at KTOO. I'm your host, Boston Christopher. As the snow melts and spring approaches, it's time to start figuring out summer plans. And Lynn Canal Adventures has exciting options for the youth in your lives. And I'm joined now by some brave adventurers, as well as one of the organizers Tristan Gunachishwasiati, how's it going? Welcome back.
It's good. Thanks for having us.
Of course. And then I have Bailey.
Yeah.
Hi, Wasiati. How you doing?
I'm doing good.
Awesome. Well, welcome to the show. And then you must be Ethan.
Yes.
Awesome. Welcome, Ethan Wasiati. How's it going?
Good.
Good? All right. That's awesome. Well, really happy to have you all here. So let's just set the stage first, Tristan. What is Lynn Canal Adventures?
Lynn Canal Adventures, we offer year-round holistic outdoor programming for youth of all ages. We started out 15 years ago as a summer running camp, one summer running camp with just 15 local teens. And since then, we've grown. We have five camps this summer for middle and high school youth. We have a winter snowshoe running club, the only club in the entire state of Alaska, maybe even the nation. I don't know, maybe not. But and then we work collaboratively with other organizations in town, all with the idea of getting young people outside, building community, and courage, and healthy competition through sport.
Did you say snowshoe running group?
I did. Running club.
Running club. Of course, group versus club. Let's debate that. No, I'm just kidding. What is the snowshoe running club?
Do
you run in snowshoes?
Like literally as it sounds, yeah. Like people think of the wooden tennis racket-like, you know, things on their feet. Well, in this day and age, we also have metal running shoes. They're slimmer, they're leaner, and they just give you a little more purchase and lift in the snow. But every 2 years, the Arctic Winter Games, some folks know it's a circumpolar youth sporting and cultural exchange event that happens. And there's a Team Alaska and there's a snowshoe running team that represents Alaska. And it's actually all done on wooden traditional running shoes. Our organization has over the years, actually, Juno, over the last almost three decades, has sent a ton of young people up to that competition. And so Lynn Canal Adventures has kind of also been the home base for last year. I think it was six of the eight competitors were from Juno.
Oh, wow.
Team. Yeah.
That's cool. Yeah, I guess I was imagining the old wooden the ones I wore when I was a young person, and they were giant. I was like imagining trying to run in those. But I guess that, yeah, then I have seen those smaller. They're a little bit more form-fitting to the shoe.
Yeah, they're like, and the tail is tapered, so you're not stepping on yourself, you know, when you're running. And but it's just one more way for us to, another tool for us to get young people outside year-round, especially in the winter, which is a really hard time of year to get out.
Cool. So, Bailey, let's talk to you. How old are you?
I'm 13.
13. Okay. And when did you get into running?
Well, I was always, like, just freely running as a kid. And, like, some of my friends on the ski team, they were, like, talking to me how, like, this running camp was really fun and I should try it. So then I decided to try it. And it's just really fun because you can run with your friends and go on different trails around Juneau, even the ones you haven't explored yet.
Oh, interesting. So you're getting to see parts of Juneau that you hadn't seen before.
Yeah.
And what is your, I guess if there's, is there different like categories like in terms of running? Like what's your favorite thing to do? Like sprinting, long distance? What do you appreciate?
Kind of just like jogging because like it's just fun to just hang out with your friends because it's just not fun to just like go on a trail alone and you just don't have anything to do but run.
Mm. Do you get distracted when you're running?
No.
No. Because I was thinking like if I was running in these trails, I would see like some cool flora or fauna or something and I'd be like, oh, I gotta like check that out. I'm gonna stop running. But you're just like focused, laser focused.
Like sometimes like I might get distracted because like what if there's like, say, like a random weird looking mushroom around.
That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying.
Because you just want to look at it and like examine it, but not touch it because it might be poisonous.
Right. We don't want
safety
that.
First.
Safety first, right. That's true. And do you have, are you in middle school or high school?
I'm in middle school.
Middle school, okay. And do you have designs on being on like the competitive teams or is running more of like a hobby for you?
I like running more because I don't really like to compete. But it's just a really fun thing to do, just to run around, get the exercise.
Yeah, and hang out with the friends, like you said. That's a big part of it, right? The socializing aspect?
Yes.
Okay, and I know that middle school registration is opening soon.
This Saturday is when we have two sessions of middle school camp. Both Bailey and Ethan have been to middle school camp. Ethan's an alum now because he's going to be in high school next year. But two sessions, they open this Saturday. We've upped our capacity a little bit. Our camps have filled, so we're trying to grow and meet the demand. Our high school camps have already opened, and there are a few spots left for those, but now we're moving into middle school. And we want to let folks know that this Saturday at 7 o'clock in the morning is when registration will open.
7 o'clock in the morning?
Yeah.
Well, that's when runners wake up, right?
It's when runners wake up.
Or that's when runners start, actually. You wake up even before
exactly.
that.
Exactly. Well, and families, I'm like, okay, maybe they're going to get on with their Saturday, but 7 o'clock seems like a time when, you're not out the door yet to skiing or soccer or whatever it is you're doing.
Right.
Bullwinkles.
That makes sense. I totally understand that. And so then, Ethan, you're moving into the high school realm.
Yeah.
So you were in the middle school camp. What was your favorite thing about working in the middle school camp? Or running with the middle school camp, I should say.
I think it was just, like, being outside, getting more outside time and more exercise.
Mm. Yeah, that's kind of fun. Are you going to plan on being on, like, the running teams in high school or no?
I'm not sure yet.
Okay.
I think that not all the running teams, but like probably I like running more as like just like getting outside, not as much as a sport.
Yeah, I understand that. I totally get that. What do you do? Because I know that the programs are year round. The summertime will be a little bit different. But how do you handle, Ethan, the cold when you're running? Does that affect your lungs at all?
When it's, like, really cold out, I find it sort of hard to breathe, like, the cold air, like, hurts the lungs. But when it's, like, that's only when it's, like, in the tens or, like, the negatives.
Yeah. Does it make you say sometimes when you wake up and it's really cold, do you go, maybe I'm not going to run today?
Sometimes.
Because that would be me. I mean, there's the days I don't want to go outside at all because it's too cold, right? Mm. That's so funny. Oh, so are you going to participate in the summer camp for high school this year?
Yeah, I am.
Okay. And I know that the summer camp registration, Tristan, you only have a few spots left in that one, right? Because that one's been open already.
Yeah, we do. We have three sessions of high school camp. The first session, I just looked before I came, has one spot left. The second session has two.
Ooh.
The third has a little more room. It's in July. There's 13 spots left in that one.
Okay.
And so, and the cool thing about it, like for Ethan, I think, gosh, it's really cool that he'll get to jump into running camp and meet a lot of the high schoolers that he's going to be maybe running with on the high school team or at least seeing at high school. And you get to meet kids from all over the state are coming in. We, you know, from Nome and Anchorage and Ketchikan and Haines and Fairbanks.
Oh, okay.
And so it's a really cool mix of, there's a lot of Juneau kids that are there, particularly for our high school camp. And then, but about a third of the camps are kids from outside. So you just get to meet and develop new friendships and relationships. And for a lot of our campers, they end up being like lifelong relationships. They take them on and keep in touch. And I mean, it's so easy to stay in touch now with, you know, all of the different medias out there.
The socials. Yeah, as they say. And so I'm curious, like, Ethan, what's the best experience or do you have a good memory of sometime when you were running, something happened? Like a cool story when you were running with a buddy or something?
I don't really have any specific memory. It just like more when I was younger, like when I was running, I would like find cool plants in the forest or like berries to eat or stuff.
How about
at camp last year? Did you have a favorite run or adventure we did?
I think last year, the last day of the camp, we run up Eagle Crest.
Mm.
And it's like very fun. Like we end up having like a campfire afterwards, and like eating marshmallows and.
Nice.
Uh-huh.
Sunset adventure. Yeah.
Yeah. Are you Bailey and Ethan? Are you morning people or afternoon people?
I think I'm definitely an afternoon person.
I can honestly be both.
You can be both, okay. Because, you know, I'm just telling you, these Tristan people, like these people over here, they're nutty. They get up at like 5 in the morning and
right? Yeah, well, but that more has to do with my three-year-old than anything else right now.
Well, that's definitely true. And so how do we find out more? How do we register? If you've only got a few spots left for high school, they're going to be gone by the end of today. Like, where do we get that information? How do we jump on this?
LynnCanalAdventures.org is our website. You can also just do the old-fashioned Google, Lynn Canal Adventures, or people know us as Lynn Canal Running Camps. Information on all of our camps is there, registration links, our contact info. It's really important that people know that our camps are open to runners of all abilities, especially in middle school. We don't expect people to come in as runners, but we want them to leave feeling like, gosh, maybe I am a runner now, or I learned a little more about running. And our registration fee is a sliding scale, no questions asked. So we just pay what you can, and we will figure out the rest. We just want you to come and have a chance to join us.
I love that. Summer camps, summer running adventures, really.
Yep.
With LynnCanalAdventures.org. Ethan, Bailey, Tristan, thank you so much. Gunnath Cheesh for being here today. I really appreciate it.
Gunnath Cheesh.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, up next, we have Tonga's Voices, a series from KTOO sharing weekly perspectives from the homelands of the Akwan and beyond. Frank Henry Kosh Katas is an Indigenous actor and playwright who incorporates Thlinkit language into plays performed in Juno stages and airwaves. Now he's directing a play written by another Indigenous playwright about white people putting on a Thanksgiving play. He says the play is full of humor and irony, but at its core, it gets at the question of who creates theater and who is in the audience watching. The Thanksgiving play opens on Friday with a pay-as-you-can preview happening tonight.
Kosh aya ach Said lekhak enach, Frank Henry Kosh Katas. Hi, I'm Frank Katas, Frank Henry Kosh Katas. I'm directing the play, The Thanksgiving Play, at Perseverance Theater. It's written by Larissa Fasthorse. This play, this Thanksgiving play, has been kind of like a darling across the country. It's a very top produced play across the country. Had a Broadway run like within the last few years. And it's funny. It's a really, really funny play. The play is about, basically it's about four white people trying to put on a traditional Thanksgiving play without any Native people in it. The struggles of trying not to offend anybody. And it's all very farcical. And it's really like line by line, it's a really, really funny play. There is a certain amount of irony within this play, especially that it's, written by a Native person about white people trying to do a Native play without any Native people. And that can be that's a tricky thing to navigate. And one great thing about Perseverance is that, bringing in a supporting cast of Indigenous perspectives and BIPOC perspectives. And so not just me, helming as the director, but, we have cultural consultants that are going to come in, and Perseverance Theater spends a great amount of resources and energy educating and discussing whose land that we're on and how it's important to tell these stories in Thlinkit Ani. So this play, it seems like to make fun and poke at some of those ideas, but Perseverance Theater, I think, takes it very seriously and handles it very, very respectfully. And I think it helps having, a Native director, like, to understand some of the subtleties within the comedy. I'm like, did they understand this joke? Like, when they did this in, Plano, Texas or whatever, it's like by, a completely white cast and production team. Did they understand some of these jokes? These are really, really funny, and we got to try to highlight some of that Indigenous humor that's built into the script. And there's a certain amount of irony there. I think it is trying to hold up a mirror to society, and I think it's my job to make sure it does that thing. I think Juno will like it. I explained it to people, just like I explained it here. It's four white people trying to put on a Thanksgiving play, and they're like, that's a funny premise. And you're like, yeah, it is. And they're trying not to offend anybody. And of course, it's always offensive. But I think people are going to be surprised on how funny this play is.
That was Frank Henry Kosh Katas talking about the Thanksgiving play opening this week at Perseverance Theater.
Mm-hmm.
You are listening to Community Supported Juno Afternoon on KTOO 104.3 Juno, 91.7 Juno Auk Bay, and online at ktoo.org. I'm Boston Christopher. Time now for our regular check-in with the Juno Chamber of Commerce. Today, I'm here with Ben Brown, president of the Board of Directors. Ben is an attorney at law and the development director over at Perseverance Theater. Ben has also been a member of the Alaska Bar Association since 2002, and he appears in the Thanksgiving play that was just featured on our Tongass Voices. Gunchish, Cha'i Gudi, thank you so much, Ben, for coming in. Wasa Iti, how's it going?
Well, Gunchish, and it's a small world, I know. I get to be here with a lot of different things going on. And Perseverance is, of course, a member of the Greater Juno Chamber of Commerce, and very grateful that we'll be able to do the play. But to talk about chamber business, because I know we don't have a ton of time, things have been busy at the Juno Chamber the last few weeks.
Yeah, tell us.
Well, our beloved former executive director, Maggie McMillan, has moved on to work for the Central Council of Tlingit and Haida Indian Tribes of Alaska, doing a donor relations project. So we're very excited for her, but we miss her already. She wrapped up last week. And so we are in the process of recruiting for a new executive director. And that's probably the most important thing I can share with listeners. We would like to find someone. You know, we're not in a huge rush. Craig Dahl, our former executive director, has stepped into that position just to make sure we keep the office open, keep the programming running. But we are looking for someone who wants to come on board and do it for a significant amount of time and move us into the next generation, because the chamber has a lot of important things that we're working on in the community. One of them we were talking about just before we came up on the air. Tonight there's a reception at Spice from 5:30 to 7 from Hunahtodum Corporation is putting on to share more about their Auckland project, the fifth cruise dock at the so-called subport. That's a chamber priority. You know, we believe that that will be beneficial for the business and the wider community in Juneau, because it will help disperse visitor traffic. And also, Hunahtodum has put a lot of effort into doing a science and cultural knowledge center, and that will be operating year-round, that I think really will lift up Tlingit culture and help share that with visitors in the summer, but also just celebrate Tlingit culture year-round. So I would mention that because I know that Russell Dick and Susan Bell and other colleagues of theirs from Hunahtodum would love to see folks at Spice from 5:30 to 7 today. You can look at some of the schematics and drawings. But the Chamber is always looking for things like that project that can help boost the business environment and thus the wider well-being of our community. At the same time, we also monitor things that are not as good but need our attention, such as flood mitigation. We have spent a lot of time in the past 4 or 5 months working with Mayor Weldon and Katie Kester, the city manager, to make sure that CBJ is doing everything and is supported in everything it needs to do to look at getting federal resources to help make sure we are mitigating the damage and doing preventative things as they are possible, because that could be so devastating, Boston, to our community. It already has been devastating, but if that keeps recurring, it's going to get more devastating. And we at the Chamber just want to do everything we can to prevent that from happening.
Absolutely. So I want to go back to something you said about looking for a new executive director.
Yes.
What are the qualities? Because I guess the idea of we sort of know what the Chamber of Commerce does. It sort of works with businesses to improve the economy in Juneau. And what does that executive director, what does that role do?
Well, you know, we have an engaged board of directors, but the board are volunteers. So we need a paid staff person who can kind of herd the cats of the board of volunteers, because we have different skill sets on the board. A lot of people are on our government affairs committee, chamber board members and other members of the community. But we need an executive director who can focus on what's happening, you know, on these Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday night meetings in City Hall, going on with the budget. How big is the reserve balance? What is being done to look at possible changes in taxation policy to make life more livable in Juneau, but to make sure we have the resources to have a high-functioning city government as Alaska's capital city? So we need someone who's conversant with, most importantly, I would say, local government affairs. But it's also good if that person can go up into the state capitol if there's a piece of legislation that is going to affect the statewide business community and thus the Juneau business community. And there are pieces of legislation certainly at that level. You know, when we get to the federal level, we certainly like to stay in touch with Senator Murkowski, Senator Sullivan. Congressman Begich was here last week. He spoke at our luncheon. And we actually had a luncheon meeting just with the board of directors with him last Friday, just to make sure he's aware of some of the things that are different and unique to Juneau and the rest of Southeast Alaska, as opposed to the rest of the state. So someone who is good at looking at the big picture about what sort of governmental policies, whether that's funding or other types of legislation, could have a good or a bad effect on Juneau, and then take steps to encourage the community to have the good things happen and prevent the bad things from happening. But the Chamber also does provide a networking and interactive social service to all of our members in the context of our weekly luncheons, which are a great place for people to get together and learn more about things that are happening in the community. And then some of our more fun events, like our annual dinner, is pretty popular as a chance to get dressed up and come out and enjoy Centennial Hall. We also have a golf tournament. We're one of the few organizations that still has a golf tournament. We're going to do that for the 11th year this year. And we've debated, I'll be honest, on our membership committee whether or not we have the resources to do that. But it's fun. So it's a mixture of policy and fun and networking and just trying to get people to realize that we do live in a wonderful community, but businesses are an important part of that and we need people. You know, KTOO is a member of the Chamber of Boston, mm-hmm. of course, because I think for a long time, I was on the board of directors here many years ago, KTOO has always realized that without a successful business community, you're not going to have successful public broadcasting.
Right, absolutely. And is that job description up on the Chamber website?
Yes, if you go to junochamber.com, it's listed there. We're using an online search service called Indeed. I'm not super conversant with some of these online platforms. Jody Garza, who's the president of Alaska Seaplanes, is our board secretary. So she's working with Craig Dahl, who's serving on an interim basis as executive director. We also are currently recruiting for an administrative coordinator, so an office management position. That's up. Those resumes are already coming in, and we're going to start the interviewing process soon here. So obviously there's been a lot of uncertainty in the federal workforce in the past few weeks, a month. And so there may be people who are looking for new job opportunities because their old ones, whether or not it was their choice, have gone away. I would encourage anyone who's interested in, you know, working with people, working with their community, making their community a better place, to go to Indeed, look up junochamber.com, and then find if that position is something that they are interested in or maybe know somebody who's interested in. And certainly, the information's on the Chamber website, and the full description for the executive director position will be soon. But right now, the administrative coordinator position is what we're trying to get filled because, again, it's hard for volunteers to do it. We've got a great board. They're very engaged. But we also want to have full-time staff in the office getting that important work done.
Absolutely. Ben Brown, president of the board of directors for the Juno Chamber of Commerce. Remind us about the event that's happening tonight.
Tonight is an event being sponsored by Huna Totem Corporation, HTC, and Russell Dick is their president, and Susan Bell, who's done many great things in the community, but is now a vice president for special projects. They are having a reception at Spice right across the street from the Baranoff to share information with the community about the Auk Landing Project, which is going to be the new dock pretty much right across Egan Drive.
It's right across from KTOO, yeah.
Exactly. And so they put a great deal of thought and effort into trying to make that a workable facility where a lot of the parking and traffic will be underground and that there will be egress and ingress so that the buses will be less burdensome. And the idea is it's going to free up pressure on actual, you know, downtown South Franklin Street, where right now a lot of people just don't go in the summer. You know, they just won't go past the Marine View because they just can't handle it because there's so much traffic there. So yeah, that's happening tonight. And again, that is something I can say go to because that is something the Chamber has embraced as a priority. We don't do that with everything. We try to weigh what the pros and cons of a project are. And if we think the pros outweighs the cons, then we as a Chamber decide, hey, we're going to support this. And that's a really good example of a project that we believe is going to be good for the community.
Gunath Cheesh, Ben, break a leg tonight. And the other project happening around town, which is the preview of the Thanksgiving play, but you can see Ben in that for the next 3 weeks or so.
Yep, we have a preview tonight, and then tomorrow we're going to rehearse and just have one more time without an audience. And then we open on Friday, and we'll run through this weekend and for the following two weekends. You can get tickets for that at ptalaska.org. And as I mentioned at the beginning, Perseverance is a Chamber member, so there is a Venn diagram that allows me to make that pitch.
All right. Thank you so much, Ben. Gunath Cheesh.
Thanks, Boston.
That will do it for today's Juno Afternoon. On tomorrow's show, a look at the new Mobile Response Unit partnership centered on helping those with behavioral health emergencies, plus a preview of Juno String Ensemble's upcoming concert. Juno Afternoon airs Wednesday through Friday right here on KTOO Juno 104.3 and KAUK Juno Auk Bay 91.7. You can find the show online at kto.org/JunoAfternoon. Our theme music is by Indian Agent. Support for Juno Afternoon comes from Alaska Airlines Club 49, Hanson Grass, and Heritage Coffee. I'm Boston Christopher, producer and host of the program, with help today from Aaron Tripp. Gunath Cheesh!